Aloha, folks. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 57. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards Rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crusted mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com. Today, we sit down for a smoke with Johan Hirschfeld. Johan is a filmmaker, photographer, and world traveler, and is the producer-director of the DVD of Tiki. I met Johan about 15 years ago, and we immediately became fast friends. In this episode, we share travel stories, chat about how he stumbled into Tiki, his motivation for creating the DVD of Tiki, his future projects, and more. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. This podcast is a grassroots effort and does not survive without the help of our sponsors or our listeners. So if you'd like to help, stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Thanks again for listening, guys. Here he is, producer-director Johan Hirschfeld.
That's very comfortable sitting here with you smoking a pipe. And
so I wish I had a cigar, but see, I use the cigars at Tiki Tea. So Mike Sr. is my humidor. So normally he stores a bunch of cigars there above the door. And, you know, according to him, I'm welcome to take it whenever I want. So I do. How was your trip to Palm Springs?
It was a beautiful trip, and we did it for the second time now. We first did it, I think, 2 years ago with the kids.
Yes.
And we discovered Joshua Tree, and my wife Tanya fell in love with that. And we had to go again, and this trip we went once for an afternoon. The light ran away. We wanted to take some photos. So we went back the next day.
Yes.
And I think we got some nice shots out of that.
Do you find your way to Palm Springs every time you come to Southern California?
No, this was the second time, and I've been many, many times to Southern California.
So I love Palm Springs, and it's very different than a lot of other cities to me because of the architecture. And I know that you do a lot of traveling. Would you say that it's one of the only places that is like that left? Because they really celebrate that mid-century modern architectural style.
Yeah, that's true. In Palm Springs, you have a very full community of mid-century modern, where in other places you maybe spot one or two houses, but here it is really alive. And I mean, there's a reason why they have a mid-century modern week and stuff like that. Really beautiful. We stayed at a hotel called the Hideaway Hotel. It used to be town and desert apartments. It's a little bit down the street of the Orbit Hotel.
Okay.
And that was beautiful, right below the mountains.
Right.
And I think it was untouched from the interior. It's so nice.
Yeah. That's part of the beauty of Palm Springs to me is that mountain, right? No matter where you are in the city, you can see that mountain. And it's very much a part of the personality of Palm Springs.
Yeah, because we are still a little bit jet lagged. We got up early before 7 and we hiked up the mountain.
Yeah.
Our host at the hotel said, oh, that's very European of you.
Yeah, yeah.
We really enjoyed the view over the city and the sun just rising up slowly. So it was really nice.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a couple of things. Obviously, the DVD of Tiki, we want to talk about that. I want to start, though, with your travels, because when you started that DVD of Tiki project, and I remember, I think I met you in 2004,
probably.
Is it 2004? I was going to say 2003, but did we meet at... we met before the Hukilau, the Hurricane Hukilau.
Yeah, the first two Tiki people that I met first were Danny Gallardo,
yes,
and King Cook.
Yes, yes. And I know that the DVD of Tiki...
And I met them in Germany, in Berlin.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I contacted Sven. He was my first contact. And I told him about my idea to do a trip through the South Pacific and to do some filming. And then he said, oh, then you have to immediately go to Berlin and meet Danny. And Danny. And yeah, I went to Berlin and that's where I met them.
So when you started filming for the DVD of Tiki, it was after your travels, correct? Or did you travel because of that DVD through the South Pacific?
We had the idea for this world trip and with a focus on the Pacific. And we didn't want to do this without any purpose or so. So the idea to film something was born. And so we started filming on the islands, and that became the start of the production. And
okay.
It also was the destruction of our vacation because I was constantly
right.
filming.
So that's what I was curious about, is if that trip was the motivation or the catalyst to record the DVD of Tiki, but it was actually part of the project.
The travel was first. And then we found something that we wanted to do during the travels. And then the idea of the DVD was born.
Okay. And what part of the South Pacific did you see during those travels?
We started in Australia, then spent 2 weeks in New Zealand. I think there it really started with the Maori culture. And further to Fiji, a lot of little islands.
Yeah.
Up there, we went with little boats, Cook Islands, Tahiti and Morea, and then Oahu, and to California.
What a dream trip that must have been. That's something that I think everybody wants to do. Start in Australia, then go to New Zealand, and then Fiji, and then Cook Islands, and then Tahiti, and end in Hawaii.
Yeah, and it was up and down because every island was a little bit different, and Fiji was a little bit like backpacker touristy, and the people living there were really waiting for you and wanted to sell something or do something
Then
Cook Islands people were more relaxed, had more of a pride, you know. They would meet you if chances would be that way, and
right.
It was more distant a little bit. And then Tahiti was, or Papeete was, not what you think it is. So it's like a dirty suburb of Paris, and it's location. But then again, the sister island on the other side, Morea, you see it from Papeete, little boat trip there, and suddenly it's peaceful and really beautiful.
Right, you know. Right. When you were traveling, was it everything that you expected it to be, or was there a lot of things that you learned about the island culture that you just didn't know? Like some of the things that I learned from my travels through the South Pacific, and this is just an example, like for example, in Fiji, every island is owned by someone different. And in Samoa, did you get to go to Samoa?
No, unfortunately.
So in Samoa, the beaches, they're attached to certain villages, and you have to ask for permission to use specific beaches because they are attached to, you know, families that own these. You have to present gifts to them so that they will allow you to use their beaches in certain parts of Samoa.
That is interesting. Yeah, I try to have no expectation and just explore while I was traveling or we were traveling. But because of the project, something started in my mind, and it was, what would the people from the islands think about what I'm doing there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how ridiculous it is or must seem to them. If I meet an islander on the Cook Islands and I tell them about tiki culture, mm-hmm. and then they probably would think, oh, that's stupid bullshit. Why are you right. doing that? So, and this friction between the tiki fantasy and the real islands was very interesting during my travels.
Yeah.
And so in the middle, I thought, oh, it's really bullshit what I'm doing. And then at the end, it got a bit more lighthearted. Because I was finding out that also the islanders were making things up.
Yes.
In certain parts. Because some traditions were lost and you had to just imagine certain carvings, mm-hmm. and so on. So it's a creative process. And this effect of cultural resampling is universal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing is in isolation, like in a glass bulb and free of outside influences. There's always influences.
Mm-hmm.
And even the girls who live in Papeete, they know about the South Sea paradise dream and the beautiful Wahinis in mm-hmm. Papeete. So this reflects on themselves.
Oh,
and I think they also take this into their culture.
Right.
I mean, nothing stays isolated. There's yeah. always influence from all sides.
And then when you started filming for your DVD, did it take a different direction after you started filming and started learning about these different cultures? Or did you try to stay on a specific track?
I mean, it was then obvious that I couldn't just do a tiki documentary and neglect and ignore the real background of it. So that led up to the prologue that I created, because I wanted to show a little bit about the wealth and the richness of the South Pacific and all the traditions, and have some of the people there talking about the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that made me feel a little bit better to do a documentary about a pop culture thing like tiki.
And then when you came to the United States and you started following the people such as Sven and Danny Gallardo and Jeff Berry, and started seeing the influence of the South Pacific imagery and artistry and culture in some of the way that, you know, the restaurants and the bars were using it, was there any feeling that, like, okay, they're doing it all wrong? Because you had already traveled the South Pacific.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm now getting a point that where I can connect to, because still now, many years after, I mean, that's so long ago, what I like about tiki is something very special, and it's always something dark and mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
What attracted me to tiki was the forbidden, mysterious island.
Mm-hmm.
And if tiki suddenly becomes something lighthearted, fun, daylight, colorful, ha ha ha, that's not exciting to me.
Sure.
So the core of tiki to me is escapism, as we often say. So escapism needs an exotic, faraway place. And I think it also needs to change and evolve, because certain things become familiar. And so sometimes you have to go further and make it exotic again.
So I guess, did you see it the way that the mainlanders saw it when they were
when they were first building these tiki bars in the 40s and 50s, you see it from this dark, exotic place.
I think they were seeing it also.
Because it's not the same as what it is today. Really in Polynesia. Like in the Cook Islands, I travel to the Cook Islands all the time, and it's not a dark, exotic place to me. You know, the lagoon glows a bright blue color, and the fruits are so colorful, and I picture, you know, sunshine. But, you know, as a tiki guy, when you walk into a Polynesian, in my mind, a Polynesian a bar or restaurant or whatever kind of place that you walk into, that whole escapism is about, okay, you don't know what time it is outside. It's perpetually dusk. There's no windows, there's no clocks, there's no TVs, and it's very mysterious. But that's actually very different from how it is when you're in the Cook Islands. There's not really a lot of mystery.
I think that's two parts, and it's both in Tiki and the beach life and the beauty of a sunny beach also attracts a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the exoticness has to do with not being at this place.
Right.
And if you're in Helsinki, open a tiki bar, you can't recreate the sunny beach, but you can recreate the exoticness of this South Sea culture with the visual style that it has.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get involved with the DVD of Tiki? Was this really something that was an offshoot from the Book of Tiki? Was that what motivated you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we named it DVD of Tiki, because it was really meant to bring it more to life and research more that the Book of Tiki already so beautifully mm-hmm. described. And I think a video then had the possibility to let the people talk. That's something that the book couldn't do.
Yes.
So with the permission of Sven, I was allowed to call it the DVD of Tiki. And this term already, now that technology has changed so much, makes also soon no right. sense anymore. Right. There's no DVDs, I think, soon. So
what I find interesting is, so Sven is from Germany, and he writes the Book of Tiki. And you're from Germany, and you produced the DVD of Tiki. Was there any connection there at all? Or is it just a coincidence that you're both from Germany?
It's a coincidence, and Sven often says that it takes the outsider
yes.
to see the special topic that the people who live in that.
That I agree
see,
with. Yeah, because, you know, Sven writing the Book of Tiki is an outsider's perspective of when he came here to the States, he noticed this thing that, you know, this this movement at one time that where things were Polynesian themed. And he thought, what's going on here? And all of us who live here and see it every day, we've become blind to it because it's something that is just part of our landscape and we don't notice it anymore.
Yeah, he really connected the dots and made it visible for everybody that this is a unique world that has a certain size, certain rules, and a certain connection between the elements. I think a lot of us were familiar with bits and pieces, but he really mapped it out, and suddenly it was a map, and it was a continent, and it was a world, and it got a name.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, ground zero for tropical drinks.
You know, something that I've thought about is this path that you took when you wrote or when you started to produce that DVD, is it's changed your whole life. Because now you come to Southern California quite frequently.
I mean, now it's home for me, and I met so many
people. Right,
and
you have so many friends.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yes, and how great is that, right? So this project that you did, over a decade ago, has changed your life in such a way that when you're here in Southern California, everybody wants to spend time with you. There's so many people that, you know, want to hang out and say, oh, Jochen's back in town. He's going to be here from this date to this date. And then now, like, I have a friend in Munich. I still got to find my way to Munich. But, you know, now I have a friend in Munich that I say, like, oh, God, I got to get over there. And I got to get over there when Sven is there, too, because it would be great to hang out with you and Sven.
And you have a home in Munich now. And that's the beauty about the Tiki Ohana. That's really so beautiful.
Yes.
And I'm very happy that I approached the whole project in this very playful way, because I could have got it financed and then shot it in half a year, edited it. But this is like a living organism. I financed it myself and it just took 10 years.
Right.
And after starting with the work trip and shooting in California, I realized I have to shoot more, way more. I have to travel to the events in Europe and so on. And I talked to one person, and that always made me realize, oh, I have to talk to three more people.
Right, yeah,
and it grew
yeah.
and grew, and I shot over like 8 years, and the editing took so long. And
that must have been a monumental task to decide which footage you were going to use, because you must have collected a lot of great footage, but you can't include everything.
And also with the editing approach we were choosing, because we had almost no narration. King Kukulele did a little bit of narration, but most of the time we tried to edit a dialogue of people who were separated geographically mm-hmm. and by time. And you have some guy in Rarotonga making a statement, and someone else in Paris nods and says, oh yes, and he continues his thought.
Yeah.
So to be able to do this, you have to listen to hundreds of hours of footage again and again. And I have to thank my co-director and editor. His artist name is Schlengo, and his real name is
Christian Lang.
And he is really the mastermind behind this all. And at the moment, he's also editing at home, and he's sifting through the material again and checking if we can do a second part. But it's really thanks to his great mind. He can memorize all this. So he knows every interview by heart, and he knows if someone there on this little island mentions something, and then he puzzles this together.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So you guys are a 1-2 punch. You guys are a super team between the two of you, because, I mean, you're both very talented at what you do. Christian's really great.
Oh, and you have met him.
I know Christian. Christian's been to my house.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yes,
on one trip when we were here shooting. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys shot at my house, and that was, and then I saw Christian, when I saw him there, that was several years after I met him at the Hukilau.
Yeah.
Because it was the year of the hurricane.
Yeah.
And that was a fun trip. We had the Maikai to ourselves, and I remember you guys. So we were fortunate enough to be at the after party at Dave Levy's house. And it was, they had a hurricane party after they closed the Maikai that night. And I think there was less than 20 of us at that house. And I've told this story before, with the bartenders making rum barrels, Maikai rum barrels in the kitchen, and passing them out in red solo cups to everybody. And I remember you guys smoking pipes and cigars out on the patio while the hurricane was just blowing, you know, wind and rain. That was a surreal moment for me because as a California kid, I've never been in a hurricane before. That was my first hurricane.
Mine too.
And that's right. And so we're having our tiki party at the same time. So that was a different thing.
And we had to just trust the locals that everything's going to be fine. Right.
And it was funny is, you know, one of the stories that I tell when I talk about the hurricane Hukilau is that it brought the best out in people. People were helping each other find hotel rooms, and they were calling each other when something would pop up at a place that they checked into, and they say, there's an extra room. So they start calling around to see if anybody needs it. That whole weekend, I remember Danny saying to you, okay, call me at 2 o'clock and I'll tell you where we are. Okay, call me at 4 o'clock and I'll tell you like what's going on. And okay, call me at 7. And then later on that night, he said, I just realized that I've been telling Jochen to call me at all these different times throughout the day. And he's actually stopping and looking for a payphone to do that. And I said, oh, you're a dick, dude. Why are you doing that? And he's like, I didn't think about it because we all had cell phones, right? So I thought that was pretty comical. But you still did that. You still stopped and looked for payphone every time.
Yeah, I mean, I could have used my cell, but it would have been expensive at that time.
Yeah, right. There's a great picture of all of us at the Molokai bar.
Yes, beautiful. Tony is there. Ron
is there, me, Tiki Diablo, yeah. You, and then Frank, Sugar Caddy Daddy, yes. Who we haven't seen in a number of years, but you had a very different look then.
Yeah.
You had your, you were very clean shaven. I think you had a mustache, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You might have had a mustache. And then you had your hat.
I had a straw hat still in the vibe from the travels to the South Pacific, maybe some necklace from Hawaii. Yeah.
Do you still have that hat?
I think it fell apart.
Yeah, it's gone now, right?
It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have a very different look now. You're more sophisticated now. Before, like you said, it was more of your traveler style, the traveler look. Yeah. So I'm excited about this this new DVD. You're working on a sequel.
Yes, it's. I think this spring I started to think about it and it started with the decay of technical media. And I thought, there's all this footage on my drives and it's not getting better. I mean, it's all SD, standard definition material.
It's 4x3, right?
And it's tiny. And I think soon this will be not interesting anymore. And at the same time, the footage is from 2004. So it already now has like a historic quality.
Because things have changed so much.
Yes, and a lot of people, we captured a lot of people in the beginning of their career or in a transition of their career. Jeff Barry was still director, script writer here in Los Angeles. Yeah. Now he transformed into the reincarnation of Don the Beachcomber.
Yeah.
Or Martin Cade was more of a passion mixologist just in his private life, but then now really blossomed into such a great bar specialist and bartender with many bars under his belt now and awards and so on, and the beautiful book that he did.
Is there a challenge to using any of that footage I know that you're using some of it, but are you ending up not being able to use most of it?
That's always really a hard choice that you have to do when you edit, because you always have to leave out so much. So you'd have to look at the storyline and focus on one specific storyline. So I can give a little view into the future of this second part, because it will be about how a handful of people started the Tiki Revival. And maybe it's like 8 or 10 people who don't know about each other, but start searching, researching, collecting, then they connect and something bigger starts. And the end of the movie will probably be that we have two events on both coasts and a whole community has started, mm-hmm. thanks to the internet and also all the communication that has been done. And I think we'll leave out a lot of footage about details of the people that go to the events. We filmed a lot at the events, but we'll focus on the heroes that started this in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Bosco, Sven, Otto, Jeff Berry, Shag, Danny Gallardo, and so on, all these people.
And then now we have this thriving community, and we have a, when I say thriving, it's not a local community, it's international.
Yeah.
So we have tiki communities in the East Coast, in the West Coast, in Europe, in Australia, everywhere.
And what's really helping is a second revival joining in, and it is the craft cocktail revival that also, after being very serious and like pre-prohibition cocktails and so on, then discovered playful tiki cocktails and the tiki style. And I think this is now also really helping the tiki community.
So as we're recording this, we're several days away from the art reception, the reception for the Art of Tiki.
Yeah.
So this is a project that Sven and Otto are putting together, where they're gathering all of these different artists that are influenced by the Polynesian and Tiki style. You know,
We have a lot of great names. It's a great lineup.
And there's going to be lots of really rare pieces there with pedigree.
Yeah.
And this all started with the Book of Tiki, and then it went to the DVD of Tiki, and then the Music of Tiki, and now this show, The Art of Tiki. And I don't know where else we go from here, right? Because I think that this revival, you know, I think it rivals the original movement in that I think there are more tiki mugs made now than there ever was in the past with vintage mugs.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess what I'm getting at is that where do you go from here, right? So now you have the DVD of Tiki Project. Do you have anything in your head already to follow that?
Yeah, I think it's easy. It would be easy to do a third part, and it would be about really today, because the second part will be about 90s to 2010. And in a third part, I would really focus on what the cocktail revival did and how this helped the whole thing.
Okay.
And because luckily we are in a situation now where you have in most major cities in the US, you have a tiki bar or several.
Yeah. And will you be tying that into this series of DVD of Tiki?
No, I'll leave that out because I want to focus on the footage.
So that will be a separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no one knows if that ever will be made. And with the second part now, we'll find out if it's going to be made, because my idea is to do a crowdfunding.
Right.
And to see if there's enough interest to get this going.
Okay.
The first part was not financial. Successful,
right?
So, but that was okay and not a big problem because it was so much fun to produce it,
right?
But now for the second part, because Schlango, he needs to sit down for weeks and edit this. He can't do it just out of fun, so
right
and
right
stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything that we can promote for you? Do you have any teaser footage of this sequel?
I can just invite the people to come to this Friday's The Art of Tiki, but once this will air, your podcast, I think the event will be over.
Yeah.
But we will be showing footage there, and we'll have a loop of like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes that we edited so far.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm excited to see that.
Yes. And for the people who can't make it to this Friday, which once this is broadcasted already is in the past, we'll probably, on the crowdfunding, we'll include some of that footage so that people already get a taste of what this will be like.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited to see that. So for our listeners out there, if they want to follow you, if they want to see some of your work, and you're a great photographer as well, and I've said this before, you've probably got the best photographer's eye that I've seen. Your pictures are amazing.
Oh,
they're the best.
So nice.
They're the best.
Thank you.
You should actually put all of those in a book. have you ever thought about that?
No, because my daily job keeps me so busy. But yes,
oh my God,
that would be great.
Yes. Yeah, that would be an awesome book.
I would love to.
I'd love to have a collection of your photographs. So if anybody wants to see those photographs, or if anybody wants to follow you in social media, what is your social media addresses? Instagram, I think you're at Living Room Pictures.
Yeah, Instagram is Living Room Pictures, one word. And you can try to connect to me on Facebook, Jochen Hirschfeld. And yeah, what else? I mean, there's the website dvdoftiki.com, and I'll try to update that. At the moment, there's just stuff about the first DVD on there. But of course, I think soon, once I have the crowdfunding, it makes sense to update that website also. Well, and oh yeah, what I'm sharing on Friday, and what you can also do right now, is write to the following email, fund@dvdoftiki.com, and this will be a mailing list. Show me your interest, and we will email you once there's something going on with the crowdfunding.
Okay, so let's repeat that. fund@dvdoftiki.com.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay, fund@dvdoftiki, fund with a D, @dvdoftiki.com. Let's everybody send a note to Jochen so that we can get this sequel made. We'll make sure that we post up the links to all of the crowdfunding that will help him finance this project. And in the meantime, give him a follow on Living Room Pictures on Instagram. All one word, @Living Room Pictures. Thank you, Jochen, for sitting down with me. I appreciate it so much. I know that we're pressed for time, and this is typically a shorter podcast.
The reason why we are pressed for time is that we want to go to the Tiki
Tea. Yes. Guilty as charged.
Yes.
Get some race mistakes.
I mean, we could continue at the tea.
Oh, yeah, why not? Maybe I'll bring my recorder there. Yeah, I've got my gear with me already, so
All right. So
we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, thank you again, and I appreciate you sitting down with me. I know that you have a very busy schedule. Whenever you're here, your time is very limited, but you know, it's always a treat to have you here. Like I said, when you come out here, everybody wants a little bit of German Joe, right? So we're going to go to the Tiki Tea now and have some raised mistakes, and I think Sven's waiting for us. So thank you so much.
It was really very enjoyable. And very easy conversation. Thank you so much. And I think you do an amazing job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Especially coming from you. So when you hear the audio on this, you're probably going to cringe because your stuff is top notch. But hey, you know, I don't have Schlango in my studio. So
The one and only. Greetings to Schlango.
Yeah. Shout out to Christian. We miss you, Christian. Come out here to Southern California and hang out with us sometime.
All righty.
Thank you, Jochen. And for all you guys out there that are listening to the podcast, if you have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout out, if you have any questions for Jochen about his future projects or the sequel to the DVD of Tiki, come to our Facebook group page, or hit us up at Polynesian Pop, or hit him up at Living Room Pictures on Instagram. Cheers and aloha.